Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking some football. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in NFL Network analyst Mark Ross. You can follow Mark on Twitter, at Mark Ross, and the NFL Network is carrying 8 live preseason Week 2 games starting tonight with the Patriots and the Eagles at 6:30 p.m. Central Time. Mark, what's going on, man? Thanks for taking time to join us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Good morning.
Well, we appreciate you joining us today, and Mark, lots of talk right here in Nashville today about the Tennessee Titans, obviously down in practice this week with Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A couple of successful seasons in a row for the Titans. When you see the Titans and Julio Jones coming into the mix now as well, what stands out to you about Tennessee? Where do you think they stack up in terms of the upper echelon teams in the AFC?
Well, I definitely think for sure they're the class of the AFC South there, and that was prior to the Carson Wentz injury, and everybody said, oh, now it's, the Colts are out of it, but he's coming back, it seems. But I had question marks about Carson and what kind of player he would be anyway. So, you know, I think by far in the AFC South, we know Houston might not win a game and Jacksonville, they got a lot of high hopes just for the future. But this year, I don't think they're quite ready. And it's just whether, the offense is going to be prolific there in Tennessee, I believe. It's just if the defense is going to be good enough to compete with the Kansas City's, Baltimore's, Cleveland's, and Buffalo's. And the Chargers sneak them in there too, who I think will be all competing for a playoff spot. And that'll be the question. And obviously building on the last few years of being in the playoffs is good for a team. But are they still good enough to take that next step to dethrone number one, the Chiefs?
Yeah, Margaret, we talk a lot in this city about, the national perception of the Titans, and in particular Ryan Tannehill. I guess he did Mike Sando. He's moved up to tier two on the quarterback list. But what is your view of Tannehill here now, what he's done, how it relates to Miami, and do you think that people maybe are sleeping on him a bit?
Well, it's number one. I was talking about him the other day where you're talking about different other quarters, Sam Darnolds and Jameis Winston's guys that who can resurrect their career. And Ryan Tannehill is always that guy. He's the example of getting out of Miami with the Adam Gase influence and then resurrecting his career there in the right situation. So tier two, tier three, I don't judge quarterbacks like that. It's okay. Who are the playmakers that carry teams? And then who are the guys you can win with if everything is right? And I think he's in that group. He can make plays for the most part when you need him to. But if you're going into a game saying Ryan Tannehill's going to win us this game, throwing 30 times a game, I think that's the wrong formula for him as a player and for Tennessee. I think even though they sign Julio Jones, they have A.J. Brown, it still has to be, let's run this offense through Derrick Henry, let's pound it, and then have Ryan Tannehill make plays when he needs to. But all in all, it's been unbelievable how he's gotten so much better and that he is someone that you can rely on to win games.
Mark, obviously you have scouted and seen a lot of players come through this league, a lot of running backs. Have you ever seen a player quite like Derrick Henry in terms of the combination of the size and the speed that he brings to the table as well?
Well, it's not even that. It's just how nifty he is for being so big, and his vision and feel for the game, I think, kind of gets overlooked. Like, he's just not some just big guy running over people. Yeah, he can do that. But his just vision, his anticipation, his feel for blocks, his niftiness for being so big, when tacklers get around him, is just his instincts and timing to stiff arm guys or just give him a little slide leg there is just amazing. And yeah, he really is unique. I mean, when I evaluated him in college, you see him when he was young and it's like, oh my gosh, look at this guy. And you just assume that just because you see the high school highlights and he's just running away from those little guys. But college, he did the same thing, and now in the pros, he just even added more to his game, and he's just so gifted for being so big and so strong and so fast. But, those are the natural things he does, but just the innate little things that he does is what makes him really special.
Yeah, and that's interesting, too, because, I mean, I remember he was coming out there, there was some concern, obviously, like, will he be a pass catcher at all in this NFL, but also even, like, does it take him a little too long to get to full speed? Things like that. There were some some nitpicks of him, and it did take him a little time here. I mean, you know, his third season, for a minute, he was like the number three back, and then all of a sudden it's like it all came together for him. Like, did you, as you were evaluating him back then, did you have any concerns, and or did you envision that he might be what he has become here in this league?
Yeah, I don't think anyone could say that he would just be this dominant and this great. But, yeah, there was, you know, whenever a player gets evaluated coming out and, you know, people assume like they're hating on him and they're picking. No, every player has strengths. Every player has weaknesses. Every player has things you think will translate to the transfer to the NFL. And then there's things that you worry about. And, you know, those are valid ways you evaluate players. And it's not degrading them. It's just those are things that scouts see and evaluators see. And one of those things with Henry was, okay, will he be quick enough? Will he be explosive enough to get through the line to avoid tacklers? And those are things that seems like great players kind of play at their own pace and make the defense or wherever they are, that team play at their pace. And that's what seems like he's done where, okay, I've taken my game up to the level I need to get it to, and now you're playing how I want you to play. And, of course, as we see it, as the game wears on, he gets even better just because at that point it's, man, we just got to leave this guy alone. We don't want anything to do with him.
Mark Ross from the NFL Network on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Mark, just a few weeks away now from opening week here in the NFL, which team intrigues you the most as we get through training camp? Which team are you, I guess, most excited to watch as the NFL season gets kicked off here in a couple of weeks?
Wow. Well, there's a lot. I mean, this is going to be a fantastic year. A lot of top-heavy in the AFC, I think. That's where all the kind of the best teams are in the AFC, taking away Tampa Bay, of course, but the other teams are really strong. A lot of intrigue with the Browns. As you guys know, I did the article a month or so ago about I think they've got the best top-to-bottom roster just as far as talent. So, and they've got a lot of high expectations coming into this year, coming off the playoff blowout of Pittsburgh last year, going toe-to-toe with Kansas City. So will they fulfill those expectations? I do think this is a new Browns organization, and they've got great stability now with Kevin Stefanski, the head coach, and Andrew Berry, the GM. So I think it's a different Browns, and just to see if they can make a step. I think the Chargers are kind of, last year they got overlooked. Just they were 7-9 last year, but lost seven games by one score. And we know just watching Chargers games how bad some of those losses were at the end of the terrible end game management for them. So I think you'll see them definitely in the mix for a playoff spot and surprising a lot of people. So those are the two right there. But I think just there's so, because Kansas City, if they've done enough with their O-line to come back, and Tampa Bay, can they repeat? And, you know, Tennessee, how much juice Julio will give that offense? And there's just so many good, intriguing storylines coming into this year.
So, all right, so Jadeveon Clowney is going to make an impact this year then? Because I think if he does, I like that team. I mean, I like that team anyway, but what do you think about Clowney?
We're waiting. What year is this on Jadeveon Clowney finally having his breakout?
It's getting up there, Mark.
So I'll leave it at that. So if he does it, it'll be a surprise, but I'm not counting. Every when he came out, he was supposed to be the second coming. He wasn't that. He gets a second opportunity. Seattle, he does that. It comes to you guys, you got to get rid of him quick. He doesn't do it. So it's, I think Clowney is just one of those guys where there's always those high expectations, but he just might always fail to deliver.
Mark Ross from the NFL Network has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Mark, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Sure, my pleasure.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mark Ross. You can follow him on Twitter at Mark Ross. And again, more preseason action tonight. Week 2 beginning tonight on the NFL Network. The Patriots and the Eagles at 6:30 tonight, Central Time. So, more football. We're back at it.
That's right. And that's, you know, that's a really interesting, I mean, that thinking back on the scouting of Derrick Henry, that was beyond the pass games. That was something you heard a lot, was like, is he, you know, Alabama, yeah. He starts out, he makes his first cut 5 yards downfield, you know, is he going to be able to be shifty enough? And, I mean, it did take him time. And now, he's all right.
We'll see where he ends up in the NFL top 100.
He's decent.
If they ever come out with the other part of it.
When the heck is that happening?
I don't know.
We should have asked Mark that.
We'll see what happens on that front. We'll come back. We'll react to what Mark had to say there. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Right now, though, got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. And look, Boxing legend Manny Pacquiao returning to the ring this Saturday for the first time in 2 years. And FanDuel Sportsbook is giving new customers exclusive 30-to-1 odds on either fighter to win when he takes on Jordanus Ugas. That's right, now is the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot because you can win $150 on a $5 bet. And FanDuel, they're always hooking you up with exclusive odds boosts, great promotions, and so much more. And that's why they're America's number one sportsbook. So don't miss out on your chance. $150 on a $5 bet when Manny Pacquiao returns to the ring against Jordanus Ugas. I kind of like Manny Pacquiao's chances in this match. So you take that either way you want to take it. Those odds are right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code ROB to get in on the action. That promo code is ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Odds boost available for new users only. Must wager on designated boost market. $10 first deposit required. Max bonus of $150. Risk-free bet refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund of $10. Restrictions apply. See full terms for both offers at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Stay tuned. Here in about 15 minutes, coming up at 8:30, we'll have another opportunity for you to join our Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League, and you're going to enjoy this trivia question today. It's a doozy that Joe Rex Road has come up with. You're really going to have to earn your spot. I'm looking forward to it.
This is a tough one. This is a tough one.
I think Michelle will like it as well. It's going to be good.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, in fact, I think Michelle actually, if not for Michelle's expertise,
it inspired this
we
question.
We wouldn't have this question.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep. So, looking forward to that coming up at 8:30.
Now you're like, what?
Yeah.
Now
I haven't even
wondering.
Told Michelle yet. Yeah, we'll tell her in a minute. But two more spots. It's down to crunch time. Only two more spots available for our Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. So, we're getting close. Today and tomorrow, our last two chances for you to join, and that's it.
That's right. So we're going to have details soon on where we know the draft will be September 8th, not 9th, keep saying it. That's a Wednesday. That is a Wednesday, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. And so, you know, I guess we'll need to have an option for anybody who can't make it.
Yeah, I mean, the draft will probably be, if I had to guess, I mean, it'll be online. We'll just do some of it in person.
What are we using, by the way?
That's something we've got to determine.
We've
had some
either.
Votes for different platforms.
We've had some votes for Yahoo. What do you like?
Sleeper, ESPN. I'll say the Sleeper's pretty good.
Yeah, but I've never tried ESPN. I think they're pretty good.
Okay, I think Yahoo's good too. We have three good options.
I don't know that I've done Yahoo. I had it my long term league that finally fell apart because my buddy just stopped being willing to be the commissioner was CBS.
Oh, yeah. I've never done one of that.
That was good. I liked it. And that's just what I knew, you know, like the early days of the internet, CBS sports, fantasy football.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Adam in Portland texting in, Jadeveon Clowney owes me $12 million. If you talk to him, tell him to call me. We'll pass that along, Adam.
You actually paid him? I did not know that.
Yeah.
Loaned the money
Cleveland
to Amy Adams Strong. What's that?
How much money did Cleveland give him?
Did he get eight?
I think he did.
I think he got eight, which is a lot.
It's worth up to 10. It's an $8 million deal with $2 million in incentives. So if he hits all the incentives, Jadeveon Clowney can make $10 million this year.
Well, if he hits all the incentives, then you can live with that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but can you live with eight for nothing?
He's only 28. He's younger than me. I didn't know that.
Hey, I won't be shocked if he's at least a factor for them, like pretty good
will.
For them.
Yeah, I'll be
you'll
shocked.
Be shocked?
Yeah, I will.
I mean, I guess I might be mildly surprised, but I won't be shocked.
Although it would be a very Titans thing is to – Clowney to come in, give you next to nothing, and then have 9 sacks for Cleveland next year.
While Ryan's,
just a total force.
While Ryan Suckup kicks his way to multiple Super Bowls.
Yeah, back-to-back Super Bowls. Be good stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. But, I mean, Mark Ross, he was down on Clowney. I'm like, I don't think he's been a total zero in the NFL. He just hasn't been number one pick.
He has not lived up to where he was drafted.
No, and he won't. But I don't hate the pickup for the Browns. I mean, I think the money's too high, but I don't hate it.
That was, you know, Mark Ross on another example of there's a lot of hype around the LA Chargers this year. And yes, it's becoming more and more hype by the day here in the NFL. People love the LA Chargers.
No, there's a lot of that. I did not realize that they actually had 7 one-score losses. I knew they lost some close games, and yes.
Well, some of those were some pretty impressive screw-ups by the coaching staff.
No doubt. So, I mean, I get it. I think they're very interesting. Well, you know, we'll see. I think, like, they have a better chance of living up to that this year than 2 years ago when it was obvious the Browns were going to brown it all up.
Yeah, and nice they did. Ryan Porth texting in. Tom Brady has cured Ryan Suckup.
That's true.
That is true.
Yes. Little turning water into avocado tequila and healing Ryan Suckup's leg.
Yes. Chris texting in. Any word on when Jared is planning the championship parade after yesterday's practice win over the Bucks?
Now, that's a great text. Yeah, Jared, I mean, I hope Jared's still listening. My God, he was breathless at the top of his show.
Titans really played well yesterday.
So excited. Apparently. He was just on cloud nine with excitement about their practice. Oh, man.
Michelle, the Titans going to the Super Bowl after their practice performance yesterday against Tampa Bay?
This is what I have to say. If they win the Super Bowl and there is a parade, Jared will find himself in the parade somehow.
Oh, he'll...
Somehow he will find himself in the parade on a float somehow.
He'll be like Ferris Bueller, like singing Twist and Shout up there.
In fairness, I mean, Jared Stillman put more pressure on Brady yesterday than the Chiefs did in Super Bowl. I'll give him that.
Nice. Well done.
Certainly more pressure than the Packers, too. Still hurts.
Sorry, man.
Tough one.
Yep.
Tyler on the text line says, you sleeper for sure for our fantasy football league.
Yeah.
Sleeper's a good app.
So it's S-L-E-E-P-R?
That is correct. Sleeper.
I mean, I never would, like, if I saw that, I never would.
Last year was the first time that I had used it, and it's pretty good.
Why is it good?
It's just easy to navigate on your phone, pretty much. That's why it's good.
I do like the sites that give you best available in your drafting because, you know, and not that I always go with the advice, but it's good to have it all laid out for you.
I got a text that says, don't knock Jared when he shows a bit of positivity. It's very rare. So Jared was very positive. I'll give him that.
Is it very rare? I think there's a toggling between, like, panicking and then, like, there is, like, you know, you got panicking, and then fanboying. I think he kind of toggles. I think that's like the flip-flopper that Floyd has talked about many times, right? I don't think Jared's always negative, is he?
I don't think so.
Sometimes.
I mean, he loved him some Marcus Mariota.
Sometimes overwhelmingly positive.
He loved him some Marcus early on.
I said he's very passionate.
Yes, that's right. Very passionate. Passionate about himself also, in his own questions.
Yes. Chris texting into the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So the Titans did so well that they caused a BM in the PM for the Bucks.
What?
We talked about the BM and the AM the other day. It's your joke. You're the one that made it.
I know, but like, what's it related to?
I don't know. I guess tough day for the Bucks on the field.
I mean, I love any BM jokes we can get in here. But,
yes.
But also, good jokes. By the way, you got to give a shout-out to Mike Vrabel. He had a nice tweet. Mike Vrabel.
He can be very funny.
I don't even know if I follow Vrabel on Twitter. I mean, I don't know. I mean, does he ever tweet? But he tweeted a hilarious picture of, you know, him talking to Brady's son and then saying, you know, talking to his favorite former Patriot, also pictured Tom Brady. I thought that was good. That was like, you know, he also trolled Taylor Lewan a few months ago. We're out looking for a left tackle out here.
Yes.
You know, at the Senior Bowl. So, sneaky, funny Twitter account. Let me see how often Mike Vrabel, I'm not following him, but let me see how often he's, yeah, like his last tweet was in July. You know, I mean, for the most part, like it's a dormant Twitter account.
Well, he usually just makes fun of himself. Like he put that tweet up of, I guess Kevin Byard was talking about Vrabel's interception, and he talked about himself. But yeah.
That's right, yeah. Did he? See, I don't see that on here, though. But, yeah, maybe he was just a response to Byard.
Maybe so.
Anyway, that was funny, too.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff. What will happen today? Who knows?
Michelle has tweeted out the Green Bay Packers have come out with throwback uniforms inspired by their 1950s look. They look pretty good. That gets me a little fired up.
So we're talking.
At 102.5 The Game.
Are we talking Twitter, like pre-Lombardi? Yeah. Unis here?
Yeah. I mean, they look like they've got a little bit more of a modern take on them. Yeah. But
I don't like – see, it's a little bit bumblebee-ish. I don't know, man. I'm not a big fan of those.
I think they look pretty good.
And the helmets are just plain yellow?
Yeah.
Eh.
The Rex Road certified hater here on the program.
No, I mean, the Green Bay Packers uniform is awesome. Just wear it.
I agree.
Just you know? I understand that now all the fans have to buy the – I get it. I get the marketing aspect of this, but I just don't like most of them, 95% of them, 98% of them.
Ron on the text line, who is in our fantasy football league, as long as the commissioner doesn't have any extra perks, the commissioner should not have any extra perks just because you're the commissioner, just saying. So I think that's a shot at one of us. Have we decided who's going to be the commissioner of this fantasy football league? Is it going to be me?
Ooh, I don't know. Michelle, you interested?
Heck yeah. I'll be the commissioner.
She didn't sound very convincing with that.
But just understand.
She just said, heck yeah, you know. A little bit of evasiveness like Tom Brady in that response.
Yeah. Did you just say MF-er? Did you say an MF-er out here?
Ryan? Ryan Tannehill? Is that who you're talking about?
Oh, I love Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, Ryan Tannehill, yeah.
Oh, that guy's great.
Yeah, he's awesome.
If you're going to be the commissioner, that entails a lot of maintenance, site stuff, you know, all this.
Okay. I'm up for the challenge.
Okay.
Unless a fan is very passionate about it, then it's all theirs. But I volunteer as tribute if necessary.
I mean, frankly, we don't know these people that well. They might hack like all of our accounts.
I'm not willing to
steal all our
money. I don't trust them.
Yeah. I love you guys, but I don't trust you as far as I can throw you.
Speaking of fantasy football, when we come back, we have our trivia question of the day. Your opportunity to join the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. Another opportunity is coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Our buddy Hibbs on Twitter tweeting me, says, buddy, these new Green Bay unis look like they're turning into Oregon. When are the black versions coming in? Hopefully never. I'm good with one alternate jersey appearance per season and then just get back to the classics. One per year I can live with. And then just go back.
Yeah, I'm okay with never, but yeah, that's at least okay.
I mean, I would love to see the Titans one time a year. If you told me one time a year they were wearing a Houston Oilers jersey or a Tennessee Oilers jersey or an AFL throwback jersey, sign me up. I'm here for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but that's – I mean, like those are like the Oilers. Like I feel like that's still in the consciousness. I guess it depends on your age. Of the football fan, like the totally whacked out, just alternative things usually are dumb. And then when you go back this far, go back to like, you know, the days of lumbering receivers and black and white with a goalpost at the front of the end zone.
I mean, they've already got one on Good Morning Football, apparently. So Packers moving quick with the alternate jersey distribution out there. It's good stuff.
I think it just looks like it's like Colorado State's jerseys, you know?
Look, it's one game, man.
Yeah, okay.
It's one game.
One game. It's fine.
I'm not worried about it. It's
one game. You're going to buy the jersey. It will work.
I don't know if I'll be doing that, but it's one game.
I bet you do.
Think I buy the jersey? Whose jersey should I buy? Like, if I'm buying a Packers jersey, I have no clue who's going to be there next year.
Well, yeah, but a Rodgers jersey will be vintage by then. That'll be like a throwback now.
That is true. That goes against my policy of wearing jerseys. But see what happens on the
front. Wearing jerseys at all or wearing jerseys with names on them?
Names on them. I mean... Maybe I'll get. I mean, I used to, but I don't know that I've worn a jersey since I was 17 years old.
A jersey at all?
No.
Yeah. I'd get a if I could get like a Detroit Tigers button up home jersey with like Alan Trammell or Lou Whitaker's name on it, I would do that. But yeah, it's got to be like not someone who's like 20 years younger than you. You know.
Well, I don't really have to worry about that. But
right,
somebody 20 years younger than me is 8. I haven't quite gotten to that point yet.
Well, you got the Nolensville.
I'd probably wear that jersey.
Yeah.
I can handle that.
With the name on it? One of the kids' names on it?
Sure.
Okay.
Why not?
All right.
With that in mind, it is time for today's edition of our fantasy football trivia question. Two more spots are on the line. We'll have one giveaway today and one to give away tomorrow as well for our Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. Remember, you must hit up the text line. The text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And today's question, admittedly, is tough. And I'm very interested to see how this goes on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, but we're going to try it. We're going to do it anyway.
Wait, does Michelle know?
She doesn't. She's okay. About to find out.
We did. This has been discussed a few times.
It's been discussed a few times, and we've talked about it, especially while the Olympics were going on over in Tokyo. We saw a lot of obscure Olympic sports come on the television. We talked about the table tennis. Handball was a lot of fun to watch. Intense stuff going on out there in the Olympics. But you brought up one sport that you covered in Rio that has to do with horses. What was the sport that Joe Rexroad covered in the Rio Olympics that had to do with horses? We give you a little hint there. And Michelle Knezovic gets a shout-out. We would not have this question without her. If you know the answer, hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, for a spot in the Robbie and Rexroad Fantasy Football League.
And, I never would have, like, that day you said it like, oh, yeah, right.
You didn't even know the name of the sport you covered.
It's a great word. Yeah, well.
It's going to be funny to see how people spell it when they text in.
Yeah.
That's true, because the way you say it is... The way you say it is, we got stuff.
We got a winner.
We got a winner?
Yeah. We've got a winner. Looks like, I believe Andrew is the winner. That was quick. There's a lot of correct answers rolling in.
My text line is so...
My text line's not loading over here.
I've got it. Don't worry.
Someone said horse aesthetic.
Well, awesome. I mean, yeah.
You did refer to it as horse dancing. In their defense, well, until we figured out the name.
Well, that's basically what it is. Like, it's, I know. It's amazing.
Well, I will give Andrew credit for not only getting the correct answer, but spelling it correctly as well. The sport we're referring to is dressage. Dressage, the sport that Joe Rexroad covered in the 2016 Rio Olympics. So, Andrew, congratulations. You are today's winner. We'll have one more spot to give away in the Robbie and Rexroad Fantasy Football League coming up tomorrow, so it's going to be a heck of a question tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to your responses as well. Andrew, we'll be in contact with you here in just a few minutes to get your information as well.
That was a really impressive bunch of people who got it right. So keep trying. One more spot tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be intense.
Just make sure. Keep trying, but ask yourself every night, do I want to tangle with football brains like this? Just got to think about it. I mean, thankfully, Jared's not in the league.
Yeah, I don't know what we do then.
The football expertise and the question asking.
Yeah, we'd really beat something. It's going to be great when I come in last place in this league, too. If, Preds pick to click, NSC pick to click, anything like that's a trajectory so far, this could be rough.
Yeah, you're sandbagging right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to
Have you won fantasy leagues before?
Multiple times.
Yeah. There we go. There's the confidence.
Okay, Robbie.
Multiple times.
I'm a multiple-time winner of fantasy football leagues. Now, I've also been in a lot and lost a lot, too.
Yeah. But I went on a run of 6-12. And this is in the CBS Sports League with buddies who, again,
so not a
dissolved.
6-12 record. It's 6 championships in 12 years.
Yes. And I talked a lot of trash about it.
Sure you
like
did.
I said, that was in the time of like, hey, I get the last pick, and I got Priest Holmes on LaDainian Tomlinson with the last and then the first pick of the second round.
Well, who won the media fantasy league last year with the Titans?
I did, right?
Exactly. I think it was you.
That's right. Punks.
So
I did win it, right? Absolutely. I was the champion.
30 minutes on the show the next day talking about it. Yes.
Absolutely. That's right. Ha ha.
Joe, how could you forget that?
I just totally forgot.
I don't know. So all of you in that league, eat my dust, Kaharski.
Eat my dust.
And company.
That's right. Joe, what are we looking for today with the Titans? Day two of practice down in Tampa Bay. Day one went well for the Titans offensively. Marcus Johnson, Chester Rogers out there once again making some plays against the Tampa Bay secondary. Defensively, looked okay out there. Tom Brady threw a couple interceptions. Elijah Molden getting an interception. Caleb Farley playing well yesterday in coverage. Sticky against Mike Evans. What are we looking for today out of the Titans in day two of practice against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Well, number one, don't have big injuries. Monty Rice, we haven't talked about that, but you bring the cart out for Monty Rice.
Not good.
That's not good. And now, as of now, I have not seen an IR move with him. Oh, shoot. Sorry.
That's number two, Joe, for today.
That is number two.
And the one was like right in the middle of me talking. I haven't seen IR designation. Maybe that's good, but give it a, you know, we'll see if we get through the day and that's the same thing. That changes, I mean, look, if it's a long-term thing now, obviously it's huge for the Titans to have Jayon Brown back, you know, with Rashawn Evans, and then David Long as your third inside linebacker, but also opens up opportunity for someone else possibly to, you know, Jan Johnson is one guy who has kind of played well and kind of distinguished himself a little bit. But yeah, it's just the same thing. Just get good work in. See if you can – you got another opportunity to go against some top players at their positions. It's a loaded roster. They got all 22 starters back from a Super Bowl champ. And anytime you can make a play at Tom Brady's expense, that's got to be a confidence thing for your DB. So – if you're in an individual when you should lose anyway to any NFL quarterback and receiver, and then you make a play against Tom Brady throwing to Mike Evans, that's nice. Doesn't mean you'll make a play one time in the regular season, but it's a nice confidence builder. I mean, Caleb Farley is a guy. You watch that video. That was TD, right?
Yes.
It was also on the, in the fantasy league that got dominated by me.
Just now remember? Yes.
Yes, thank you. But, I mean, that was a great video, and that was like a great example of being able to use your speed, you know, to get back into position after kind of fumbling around early and then turning your head to play the ball. That's big time. That's big time. I mean, Farley, the view of him in the, you know, the reps, mostly individual stuff, a little bit of team, but it's a guy who you can get why they liked him. You can absolutely get it. So if he's going to be healthy and continue and then start getting into contact and tackling people, guy could help this defense this year.
Coming up next, we have our weekly segment now, the best and worst thing in sports. Taking your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll do that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst thing in sports. We'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What is your best thing in sports? What is your worst thing in sports? We'll get to as many of those as we can coming up later on in the segment. Joe Rexroad, would you like to kick us off today? Your best thing in sports would be what?
I almost have a best and worst together, but I won't do that.
Okay.
I'm gonna do two other things that I'm gonna tie. Okay, one, probably obvious, but the Field of Dreams was pretty sweet. I mean, it was a bit over the top, a little bit cheesy. It was really good. But I need to throw out, how about an honorable mention to the Ted Lasso Christmas episode? I think if Ted Lasso is in season and they're putting out weekly episodes, already that could be the best thing in sports every week. But the Christmas episode, right in the middle of August, was pretty freaking awesome. Anybody else watch Ted Lasso?
I've not yet seen it.
Michelle?
Nope.
Okay. You guys just
it's
have
on
to
the
take,
list.
You're going to have to take my word for it.
All right.
Ted Lasso, good stuff.
Very nicely done.
The American football coach coaching soccer in England. Yeah, man. That's good.
Michelle. Do you have a best thing in sports for this week?
Guys, I have an amazing thing in sports this week. So,
nice.
Yesterday, I can't find the specific tweet, but I retweeted it on Twitter. The NCAA, during the March Madness this year, there was a lot of, you know, light on the differences between the women's basketball tournament and the men's basketball tournament. This Oregon women's basketball player kind of blew up showing basically the differences in weight room and just resources during the tournament. So the NCAA said that they are going to extend the March Madness branding to the women's basketball tournament as well. I didn't even know that it wasn't, but if you look back on
it, I didn't either.
That the women's basketball team isn't actually considered March Madness. And I guess if you think about it, that one shining moment video they do every year, they only do it for the men's. And they don't actually do it for the women. So I think that's amazing that the NCAA made a statement yesterday looking to, you know, get things where they should be. It's the 21st century. Let's go, NCAA.
Great call. I mean, and if you saw the report, too, like there's been this sort of like unfounded, like, well, you know, revenue, blah, blah, blah. It's actually a ton of untapped revenue because people have been stupid about this. That's a great call.
Yes, there is an audience for it. Yes.
Very nicely done. Took the NCAA a little while to catch up.
Yeah, yeah, you know,
very nicely done. Yeah, just, I'm shocked about that.
They just need, you know, they're behind on some things, but
they're never behind on anything. My best thing in sports, high school football kicking off this weekend. Love me some high school football. I think back to the days of playing football with your friends, going to games with your community. I grew up in Hendersonville. Going to Hendersonville high school football games was one of the great times of my childhood. And it's a little different now. I know with COVID last year, you couldn't really get that full experience. I'm excited that it's going to be a little bit closer to normal this year for high school football. Lots of great games coming up this weekend as well. I think Hendersonville and Oakland are playing, so good luck with that.
Shout out to Hendersonville. Yeah, Oakland, yeah, good luck. Yeah,
Oakland pretty good out there right now. But it's just fun. It's one of those things that I think brings communities together. It's football, in my opinion, really in its purest form. I love me some high school football. So I'm excited to see that get rolling in the state of Tennessee this week. I know there's been some jamborees that have taken place already and a couple teams in action, but the full slate coming up this weekend. So looking forward to that.
It's a great call. Very exciting.
Joe Rexroad, the worst thing in sports. What is your worst thing in sports for the week?
So, again, I was thinking about best and worst with this, but I guess I can't say it's like the best on the other side of it. But to quickly recap this, we've talked about Naomi Osaka and all the stuff with media, you know, and mental health, and there was a lot of, you know, a lot of screaming all around that situation a few weeks ago. So Paul Daugherty of the Cincinnati Inquirer asked her some questions at a press conference about sort of balancing the positive impact that media does have on athletes from a business perspective with, you know, the fact that she doesn't like doing press conferences, things like that. And then he wrote a column, and the column is, Naomi Osaka is honest, thoughtful, and could help many other athletes. And it's a really thoughtful, you know, recap of that conversation. Now, she did step away, and she cried at this moment. And so there was a lot of – the worst thing to me was the social media reaction to the interaction. Because, you know, for one thing, Paul Daugherty's done this for a long time, and he was not trying to be attacking at all from when I listened to the questions. But, like, her agent called him a bully – and Ben Rothenberg attacked him on social media and stuff like this. But if you read the column, his point, I mean, it was actually a really worthwhile discussion to have. So the worst thing to me was the reaction to that, and just another example of, like, taking a little segment of something and going off about it when his intent was not to bully, was not to just, like, attack her or get some performative press conference moment. Some people like performative press conference moments.
Yes.
You know, it was a good topic. It really is interesting, and she ended up actually giving a really good answer too. So just the worst thing is, like, the quick, just knee-jerk jumping all over someone who's actually trying to do something productive.
Very nicely done. Michelle Knezovic, your worst thing in sports.
Mine
this
has
week.
To do with the Twitter trolls too, Joe.
Oh boy.
Okay, so obviously yesterday this came out. If you're not under a rock, you saw on Twitter that Draymond Green interviewed KD on the Bleacher Report on his show called The Chirps. And of course, what got brought up was their iconic fight in 2018.
That was awesome.
Warriors versus Clippers. First off, I will say, it was only 20 minutes long, and I feel like you just needed a lot more because they really glossed over it in the interview, but I get it. He doesn't do the interviews a lot, so that's fine. But everybody on Twitter was saying, oh my gosh, they're blaming the management and everything. They're taking no responsibility for this and everything. And Katie even said it. He goes, yeah, it was my time to leave anyway. Like, he was so nonchalant about it. And he really says what he means. You know, Katie's not afraid to say anything if he's like, no, like, that was super messed up. I hate X, Y, and Z. But I think on Twitter, everybody just exploded this. And it was on every single ESPN, The Jump, everything, and they're like analyzing this one thing that he said, and they're like, it wasn't the management, it was. And I just think it got blown out of proportion, and it's like, this happened 2 years ago, it's over, he's on the Nets, like, let's just go on.
It's like the number three headline on ESPN.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like right now.
It's really not. They didn't really not even seem it was the two of them talking. They seemed so chill about it, and everybody else is freaking out about it. It's like, what just if, relax.
What if KD got those burner accounts on Twitter fired up again yesterday? He's got a few of those.
KD, he does do some interesting stuff on Twitter.
Also, one more really quick. If Max Kellerman leaves First Take, that's a rumor. It hasn't been true, but I just think that would just mess
I'd be okay
up.
With that. Be fine with that.
What would be the plan? I mean, it's not just Stephen A. yelling at himself, right?
Well, I don't know what the plan would be. I don't really like Max. I don't like or dislike Max Kellerman, but I think that it would just mess up the show. They have such a good back and forth. But
Skip Bayless coming back?
It would be some big shoes to fill, I think.
There we go.
I don't know.
You can skip back in there on ESPN.
Bring in the Vanderbilt legend, Skip Bayless.
Coming out of the bullpen? That's right. My worst thing in sports is very simple. You know, we talked about missing preseason football, and I do, and I'm glad it's back. But my God, the quarterback play in preseason football is awful. Watching some of these quarterbacks try to throw the ball. Watching Felipe Franks the other night attempt to throw a forward pass was brutal. Kyle Trask. I am dumping on a lot of former Florida quarterbacks.
You don't like those
right
Gators,
now.
Huh?
Nick Foles out there spinning the ball. I mean, it was absolutely atrocious. So we're getting, you know, deeper into the preseason now. We're going to see a lot more of these third and fourth string quarterbacks in some cases. It's going to be a doozy. I think I've already reached my quota.
So you've got
shout out to Matt Barkley and Logan Woodside, though. Played great.
They were solid. So you got like the good, the best, which is the purity of high school football, and the worst, the
yes.
the pure poopiness of backup quarterbacks in the NFL.
It's awful. Bad stuff. All right, let's quickly go to the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dennis texting in, the Polish Olympic javelin thrower auctioned her medal to pay for a toddler's heart operation. That is Dennis's best thing in sports.
Wow.
And a grocery store chain wins the auction and gave the medal back. So a pretty cool story there. That's I did not see
cool.
that. That's
Thank
awesome.
You for sharing that. I didn't see that either.
Tim from Lewisburg texting in, the best thing in sports, the Atlanta Braves. They've won 6 in a row and are 15-2 over their last 17 games.
Michelle's
also,
clapping.
Nolensville, Tennessee Little League game today at 2 p.m.
Yeah, that's
ESPN.
Right. That's right. Yeah, that should have been a locked in, at least an honorable mention best thing.
Well, we got that last week. But yeah.
We got that last week. But yeah, now today you get to watch them, 2 o'clock.
That's right.
Also, the Braves fan, their minor league team plays the Sounds on Tuesday.
Yeah, Gwinnett. The Gwinnett Braves.
That's right.
Let's go back to the text line.
They're no Toledo Mudhens, but, you know, they try.
Steven texting in from Antioch. The best thing, the Yankees sweeping the Red Sox and overtaking them in the playoff standings.
That is not the best thing.
So, Steven, Yankees fan.
Not the best thing. Michelle, thumbs down.
Michelle, not very
on
happy
that
about
one.
That.
No, no.
Frank, the best thing in sports this week, the Predators signing a key player, Yussi Saros, to a contract that makes sense. A sane contract, as Frank says.
I agree. I mean, I agree. I mean, I think that deal is good for the Preds. I think it's good for him.
Yeah, I think so too.
Win-win, as
very
I like
rarely
to
do
say.
You get a contract that everybody's like, you know what? It's great stuff. Love that. On both sides. Dennis
now,
texting back
Matt
in.
Matt Duchene, I was like, brilliant contract at the time. No, I don't think so.
Dennis texting back in, the worst thing in sports, Chris Bassitt taking a line drive to the face. That was bad. A's pitcher Chris Bassitt took a line drive right off the face, had to get carted off the field. Not good.
When was that?
Yesterday, the day before, I think. Yeah.
I should watch more sports.
Sometimes.
How is he? Is he okay?
I think he's okay. I think he broke his jaw, but other than that, it's okay. Fine. Well, I mean, he's not.
So it could have been way worse.
Yeah,
then.
It could have been a lot worse. It's a 100-mile-an-hour line drive. And you know, it feels like you see something like this a couple times a year. I mean, it's part of the risk of being on the pitcher's mound that close to a baseball, but that's one of those things where you hit the ball and then immediately your heart just sinks because you could see it going back to. I've unfortunately experienced this before, and it's not a good feeling.
You've experienced the hitting the ball that hits the pitcher.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I got hit too. Not in the face.
Was he okay?
Yeah, he was fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Luckily, I got him in the rib. Worked out okay. That is today's edition of Best and Worst Things in Sports. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. By the way, another good thing in sports, we talked about Monty Rice being carted off the field yesterday. He's out there today. He's practicing.
Really?
So he is fully dressed and practicing, according to multiple reports.
I don't know that I've ever heard of a cart employed, and then the next day the player is practicing.
Yeah.
Did he have like a cramp that he thought was like something torn yesterday?
I don't know, but Monty Rice is on the field.
Because they're not going to mess around, even if you're a little bit hurt, you know? All right, good news on that front. Great news for Monty Rice and for the Titans.
We'll come back. We'll discuss the Titans a little bit further, dig deeper into the practice against Tampa Bay. What do we want to see this weekend from the Titans as well? All that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.